Let's go with Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, we thank you that you forgive us where we fail you. Lord, just help us to have courage and strength. Lord, to see the end, Father, of this life. That we may look to you, Father, and strive to be like you. Give us that desire, Father. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom and understanding. Lord, as we open your word, apply it to our lives, Father. Help us truly have ears to hear. Again, we thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Appreciate the aspirations that the young men have desired for themselves. It's a worthwhile goals and worth thinking about at that age, and all ages, but when in the world where we live in, where very few people actually are concerned about that the boys have those goals for themselves. Just pray that it is a sincere goal. Whenever you said those things, is that what you really want? Is that what you're attaining or striving to obtain? Or is it just something clever to say while you're up here? And so just encourage you to really reflect on that thought. What kind of man do you want to be known as whenever you're gone? What do you want to be remembered by? That's a very good thing. More important than that is, what is the Lord going to see of you? What does he see in you? Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Verse 1 says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. As we read these things, I want us to really hear what the Lord is trying to say to us. Just looking at a verse this morning, it says that the whole world lieth in wickedness. And our tendency and our inclination often is just to go along with this world. It's this world. And it would tell us so many times how we should think of ourselves and how we should see ourselves and how we should portray ourselves. And we're so easily swayed that direction. It is natural for us, seemingly natural for us, just to follow the ways of the world. In our attitudes, in our ideas, our ambitions, and our opportunity is to turn away from those ideas and those ambitions and those desires and those portrayals of ourselves towards the way that God would want us to be. And as we read these teachings of Jesus, these things that he began to teach to his disciples, often just referred to as just beautiful poetry or something really nice or a wonderful ideal, that would be in a wonderful world. These are the things that God and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, would desire that we obtain, that we would live in. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is now. And it's so easy for us, living in this world, living right now, to just have the attitude or the same spirit or the same as the world and everyone else. But our goal is to truly hear what Jesus had to say. In these few verses, or a few letters, chapters that Jesus taught us how to live. At the end of it, it says, he that hears these sayings of mine and does them, it's like the man that builds his house on the rock. We can know these things. We can quote these verses. We can be able to seemingly fulfill them in not doing sin. We can live by the commandments of the New Testament, just like the Jews lived by the commandments of the Old Testament and missed God a mile. But if we will hear these words and actually let them penetrate our hearts, we can truly be and have the kingdom of God now. That's the blessed thing, that when we die, we're going to be what we are throughout all eternity. We're going to be what we are. We might have faults now that we have to work on, but as we work on them and strive towards them, our heart is going to be where it is in eternity. And so, if we can have the kingdom of God now, then when we die, we just go into what we already have and what we already are. If we don't have it now, when we die, we go right into what we already have now. The Bible teaches that where the tree falls, there it will lie, talking about death. A lot of people have the idea that after we die, that we're going to be magically changed and just be a little saint then. But that's not the way the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us we are, we'll be. What we die is what we will be. I've told people in time past that, you know, if God would take you right now and put you in heaven, give you a brand new body, put you in heaven, what would it be like? You would be the very same person you are right now. Just because you're in a perfect place doesn't change anything. I mean, if you still want to pile up all the gold in the world, you'll be chipping on the streets of gold in heaven. You won't be able to walk on them. You'll be trying to get them in your pocket. It's the same thing. If you're full of bitterness now, just because you're in heaven in a perfect place, you'll still be full of bitterness. If there's anger and hatred in your heart, it'll still be there. If there's unrest, turmoil, it'll still be there. God has given us the opportunity to be in the kingdom of heaven. It may be an uphill battle. It may be hard. But if that's what we can get to when we go through a situation or a trouble. I mean, we all, as soon as something happens, I'm the worst to react just immediately. And then kind of see through things, see things clearly. But it's what we get to whenever we're, after we've had a bump in the road, where do we level out? Do we fly off the road and out in the ditch and out through the field? Or do we just bump and come back down and get back on a level road as quick as we can? That's our opportunity. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. All of these promises here, theirs is the kingdom of heaven, to be poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. You see, when we read through these things, it's not portraying a perfect life. We strive and strive and strive to get all the wrinkles out of our lives. But that's not what this is portraying. This is portraying someone that's at a battle all the time. Someone mourning. It's not just all smiles. It's not just all fun and games. It's not all laughing. But going through the mourning, they shall be comforted. Poor in spirit. It's not just how much money you have. It's being poor in spirit. And we've talked about it before that most poor people want to be rich. They might think, oh, blessed are the poor. That's not what it says. It's blessed are the poor in spirit. It's not just rich people that love all that money and all the power and all the things that come with it. The poor people want it too. They just don't have it. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's not just weak in spirit, not just it's poor in spirit. They're humble, they're needy, and there's a hunger to have what God wants. Verse 5 says, blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Some of the boys mentioned that. They just want to be a gentle. You know, the term gentleman is not a weak thing. Takes so much strength, so much more strength to be a gentleman than just to throw down the gauntlet and go to it in battle, in fighting. To be a gentleman, to be a gentle person, it takes more courage and more strength than it does just put up your dukes and go to battle, go to fight. But just to be a gentle person. Sometimes we think that is weak, but it takes more strength to be gentle than it does to be firm. You know, anybody can just grouch and bellow out commands and be, it's not how we prove ourselves. We might be convincing ourselves, but it's not how we prove ourselves to be strong or to be the better man. Sometimes the gentleman is often overcomes the strong man that is in appearance anyway. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The gentleman shall inherit the earth. You know, we think of someone inheriting the earth as just going after it, undercutting, just striving, fighting, just getting ahead. But Jesus said, the gentle man, will inherit the earth. Completely opposite of what the world portrays. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, there's a lot of people strive for their own brand of righteousness, their own ideas of righteousness. But to hunger and thirst after it goes past just what seems to be on the surface and is able to be that righteous man when no one else can see it, when no one else can understand it. They shall be satisfied. A lot of times, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who have a desire for righteousness, or a lot of times just simply jealous, or a lot of times covetous for this righteousness. And they're envious, just monster. These envious, jealousy, they create monsters in us to try to be so holy or be so righteous. But the motive is not because we hunger and thirst after true righteousness, but just because we're trying to impress someone. Maybe even impress ourselves. Maybe even trying to impress God. One of the boys mentioned something about what other people think of us. You know, so often we make our decisions and we do things because we're worried about what someone else thinks of us. Young people, a lot of times they're just so afraid of what everyone else thinks. You know, whenever you're looking around in the crowd, maybe you're singing you're standing back there and you're afraid to sing out loud, or you're afraid to sing like you're supposed to because you're afraid of what everybody else is thinking about you. You're afraid about what everybody else is thinking about you. You know what that's a sign of? You're thinking about you. It's just pure old pride, selfishness. The thing about it is, while you're worried about what everybody else is thinking about you, what's the guy next door thinking about? He's sitting there, or she is sitting there thinking, what's everybody thinking about me? What's everybody thinking about me? And the person over here, we're worried about what they're thinking. Guess what? They're worried about what you're thinking. And so we mold our lives not on anything that's real. We allow our lives to be molded on what we think someone else is thinking about us. That's not a very stable foundation to build your life on. Lay down yourself. Do what you're supposed to do the best you can. And don't worry about what other people are thinking about it. If you're worried about other people, you're creating an image of God or an ideal that you'll never attain to, and you'll be a failure all your life. Just standing around with your hat in your hand, worried about what everybody else thinks. And that's not the way to be. That's nothing to be remembered about. We allow ourselves to be afraid of so many things that are not real. The verses over the next page, it talks about if you have a gift and you bring a gift to the altar, and there you remember that someone has ought against you. That's what that's talking about. If someone actually has something against you, go fix it. But if you just think they might, or you think that they said something about you, or if you're worried about what your opinion is about their opinion about something, you're just chasing something that's not real. The problem is, when we're living in a world that's not real, when something that is real comes along, goes right past us, we never bat an eye, we never think about it, it's just gone, and we're over here worried about what somebody else thinks about me. One of the boys talked about just being quick, or several of them, just quick to do what they're supposed to do. Well, if you're sitting there thinking about what everybody else is thinking about what you should do, you're not going to be quick just to jump in and give a hand when you need to. You're going to be more worried about what people are thinking about you, which is as worthless as a handful of ashes. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. How many times Jesus talks about this? One place he said, if they would have known what they were talking about, they would have had compassion instead of a sacrifice. Over and over again, people offer their imagined sacrifices to God. And what he wanted was compassion and mercy. We are creating our own judgment day. You know, people say, oh, there's a book we're going to be judged by, and every little thing that is written in this here book is what we're going to be judged by. And Jesus says, you are determining what kind of judge you're going to be judged by. Blessed are the merciful. If you're full of mercy, your judge is going to be full of mercy. If you're full of mercy, you're going to find a merciful judge. Just like if you're full of anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, that's the kind of judge you're going to face. We are so aware of ourselves in other people. You know, have you ever wondered that the people that hate something else in others often are just hating that because they see that in themselves? They're hating themselves. The thing that bothers you so bad about someone else, the reason it hits so close to home is because it hits real close to home. But if you can learn to be merciful, you begin to recognize that that's me. And you choose to be merciful to those, we will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pure in heart. You know, a lot of times we hear people say, well, God knows my heart. God knows my heart. And sometimes that's a good thing. But most of the time, if God knows our heart, it's probably not a very good thing. We may have a high opinion of ourselves and our hearts. The Bible doesn't necessarily portray our hearts as being the best thing to follow. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. One time a brother pointed out that the difference between a peacemaker and a peacekeeper. You know, when we think of peacemakers, most of the time we think of a peacekeeper. That's someone who's just going around walking on eggshells, trying to say all the right things so that there'll be peace. In order not to cause any disturbance. But if there's a problem, we just, take it easy. We want to have peace. Peacemaker is someone that usually has to pretend to be something they're not in order to get along with everybody. Think of politicians or people that are just real on the outward appearance that just want to have everything peaceful and they just try to get along with everybody. They usually wind up telling one person this thing and another person that thing. That's a peacekeeper. But it's not what God promises His blessing for. That is usually just a bowl full of jelly. It just kind of fills in all the gaps that, and it's just worthless. A peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Someone that actually wants to have peace with everyone. And someone that actually is willing to even say what's right so that there can be real peace. They're often looked at as just someone that's stirring up trouble. They're often painted as someone that's just not a peacekeeper. They're peacemakers. It's when Jesus talked about a peacemaker. It's like when he said that I came not into the world to bring peace, but a sword. To cause division, to show man that they're separated from God, that they needed to return to Him. He came to bring the thing that would actually bring peace to man. Whenever we have this peace with God, whenever we've made our peace with God, it's because we've bowed ourselves to His authority. Not something we've imagined, but to His authority. Submitted ourselves to Him. You know, in war, as long as two people are fighting together, if no one actually wins, they may sign a peace treaty, but the countries are still at odds with each other, and will be. I mean, we have these countries all over the world, the north and the south, the north of these different countries, they're always fighting each other. They have a peace treaty, but they're always at odds with each other. There's never been someone that won the battle. And as long as our peace treaty with God is just something where, well, He does His thing and I'll do mine, there's always going to be odds at that. That's what a peacekeeper does. But a peacemaker is whenever one party, one completely dominates the other to the place where the one says, I surrender. There's no need to be two countries anymore. We're going to be one. That's what it is just to think that you can be yourself and be what you want to be, and God can be Him, and you can just, well, we'll have peace because Jesus died. That's a peacekeeper, not a peacemaker. Back in the Old West, there was a gun that was called the peacekeeper. People were afraid of it, so it kept the peace. But if no one dared challenge it, that's a peacemaker. And that's what God, if whenever we get to that place where we can surrender to God, we can have peace. We'll be a peacemaker. They shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, we can't see a lot of times, we can't understand a lot of times why things go the way they do, why it's so difficult, that we just try and try and try just to be what we need to be. And the harder we do, the harder we try, the more we feel like we're doing God's will, people around it just don't understand it. They just don't understand it. And they come up against you. You try your hardest. You do what you're supposed to do. That's the thing. The boys say, oh, I just want to be known as this. Well, if you're actually applying that, you'll never know that you're known as that. There's blinders on the world. And as hard as you try to actually be that person you want to be remembered as, you'll probably, the closer you get to that, you'll probably go down into nobody even remembering anything about you at all. So, if you're looking to be that so that you'll be honored, forget it. If you're looking to be that because you'll be thought well of, forget it. Because if you are, and if you are honored and thought well of, it's probably because the world loves you. And they respect their own. But if you have that pure heart seeking after God and His righteousness, the world will not be able to notice it. They won't praise you. They'll despise you. And when you think that it's just obvious that you've done what's right, they'll come along and spit in your face. And you'll think, boy, what in the world? But that's the way Jesus said it would be. There's no gratification and honor, very little, in being man of God or woman of God. It's just not there in this world. But we have the hope that it will be in the next. And we can live this kingdom without the honor, without the glory, without the respect. Because it's living in our heart. We have the kingdom of God right now. May the Lord have His blessings.
Oh, the brightness of
Zion's glamour.
Joy to the bands and darkness and
pain. Hush be the accents of sorrow and mourning. Zion, Zion, begin. Dark, dark.
But day spring is at hand, and glory, glory, let in Emmanuel's land. Oh, His mercy doth expand, and glory, glory, dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. Oh, not in where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. The bride has not her garment, but bride in bridegroom stays. Not at the crowning end, but